to Elephate in the Room, Elephate's weekly podcast. I'm your host, Derek Caraview, and entering the room today is Luke Carthy. Luke Carthy is a well-seasoned technical e-commerce SEO for Mayflex, and he's also a digital conference speaker. Now, on today's episode, not only do you get to hear me attempt poorly some Brummie slang, so those of you who are from Birmingham, England, as opposed to Birmingham, Alabama, you may want to prepare yourself. I made an attempt once or twice. It's not great, but I did try. So along with that, we get to find out, according to Luke, what makes a meal, why having a doppelganger is bad for your liver, and which pop culture Luke is better. So sit back, relax, get a nice cup of coffee, and enjoy Elephate in the Room with Luke and Derek. Luke, thank you very much for joining us. And why don't we start? Why don't you explain to our audience who you are and what you do?
Sure. So, my name is Luke Carthy. I work for a company called Mayflex, and I basically live, breathe, eat, sleep SEO, ultimately technical SEO and an e-commerce kind of SEO as well. Kind of the same sort of thing. But very briefly, Mayflex is a company that basically supplies installers of security and networking equipment. So quite a niche industry, but they basically put the internet and CCTV stuff into buildings, big and small, whether it's, you know, a retail store or a police station or whatever, you know, loads of bits and pieces. But that's ultimately, in about 30 seconds, what I do on a daily basis.
All right, great. So we're going to go ahead and get started. And I will admit I had a little bit of help with a couple of these questions.
No worries, no problem.
Okay, so my first question is, yam all right, am yam?
Am yam?
Is that the answer?
I don't even, what was the question again? Run it by me one more time.
Sure. Yam all right, am yam.
Wow. Okay, so this one I've never heard before. I can't work out whether it's like a bad line or that's a genuine question, but it sounded like yam yam, which is, it means something to me, is like someone who's from a certain part of the UK, but I don't know. Are we going like way off on a tangent here?
Okay, so I have a friend who is from Birmingham. So I asked for some Brummie. Some stuff, because I see you live in Birmingham. I thought maybe you were from there. So I have some Birmingham, specific questions. And
wow.
He said that question means, how are you? Yeah, I'm all right, am I?
Yeah, it threw me off because I just really was not expecting you to say that. Like, it's one of those things, exactly. You have to be from Birmingham in the UK, in like a really niche area of Birmingham to understand what the hell that means. So I'm like, what? But yeah, I'm good. To cut a long story short, I'm all right. But props to that question. That really took me by surprise. Well done. You've done your homework.
I've tried. All right. There'll be a few more, so be ready.
All right.
So if you eat three different types of snacks at the same time, is that technically a meal?
Absolutely. Yeah, one-worded answer. Absolutely. Three different types of snacks at the same time. Mm. I'd say so. Definitely at least a solid lunch, like, yeah, for sure.
What is an article of clothing that somebody could wear that would make you walk out on a date with them?
A mankini, like a really brightly colored mankini. I don't care if you're a man or a woman, like, if you rock up to a date in one of those things, I'm never going to see you ever again.
Yeah, fair enough. That's a good answer. What professional sport would be made better with an alcohol requirement?
Ballet. I don't even know why I went there. I have no idea why I went there, but it'd make it more fun for sure.
Okay, I don't know if ballet is a sport, but we'll accept that one. All right. Does Snobs still have a sticky dance floor?
Yeah. Like, if you're wearing shoes without laces, you're gonna be in trouble. Like, you know, it's one of the finer things in life in Birmingham is Snobs for sure. It's a I don't even know if I can cuss on this, but I'm not gonna, just in case. But it's not, yeah, it's sticky is putting it mildly for sure.
All right, good to know. What was the worst Christmas present you've ever received?
No present at all, I think, is probably the worst Christmas present you can receive, right? I don't think even a bad present is better than no present.
Generally, yeah. What's been the worst present that you've ever given?
Advice? I don't know. That's a good question. The worst present that I've ever given. Maybe like a present that I got that I knew was rubbish that I didn't want, so I recycled it and gave it to somebody else. No names. No names.
Yeah. Okay. The re-gifting, I like it. That's always a good one.
Yeah.
All right. What's the most boasting thing you've ever done?
I'm going to say that I've died and come back to life. Like, genuinely, that's the thing that's happened to me. So I've kind of this born again kind of, you know, dude, live life on the edge kind of person. But yeah, genuinely got really sick to bring the tone down. But I got really sick and I died for about 30 seconds and then came back to life. So that's up there, right? That's like awesome.
That's definitely the first time I've heard that answer. So yeah, that's well, that's crazy.
Yeah, big time. But I'm still here. I'm breathing. I'm talking to you guys. So, you know, progress and all that. But yeah, I'll survive.
Oh, well, congratulations. That's always nice. Glad I'm not talking to myself right now. So, what has been your proudest professional accomplishment so far?
Okay, this is a big one. I would say when I worked at my previous company, or the company I used to work for previously, not my personal company, which was Caterpillar, the guys who did the excavators and stuff. For the UK region, I helped roll out a brand new e-commerce store for parts. So 1.4 million parts launched, and basically a big ton of organic growth and revenue through an entirely new platform. I would say that's, you know, it's kind of like something that's happened in the last couple of years. That's super relevant. I'd say that's definitely up there.
All right. That does sound very, very accomplished. All right. So we're going to talk a little bit about you being you're a digital lead at Mayflex. And as you told us in your intro that you're all about the technical SEO e-commerce. What got you into this particular industry?
Actually, it was eBay, believe it or not. So when I was young and kind of still in, depending on who's listening, high school or secondary school, if you're in the UK, it was simply eBay. So I kind of had a massive, you know, I was kind of a millennial, right? So the internet's like a big deal for me. And I thought to myself, you know what? I reckon I could do this. So I started working on Alibaba and kind of just finding products that were new, cool, had high profit margin. And I basically started selling TV cables, so HDMI leads and all DVI cables on eBay. And it kind of took off. And just through kind of little things like optimizing titles, enhancing descriptions, giving incentives to purchase, like free accessories, free delivery, and all this sort of stuff. That's what kind of whetted my appetite for, one, selling online, and two, kind of very basic principles of eBay optimization. So that's like right back to the beginning. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of just grown on from there. So from place to place, from challenge to challenge, it's kind of started at eBay, and now, you know, we're talking proper e-commerce SEO, I suppose.
Okay. And how did you end up at Mayflex?
How did I end up at Mayflex? That's a very good question. So the typical kind of cliche, you know, looking for jobs, saw something that was advertised online and applied for it. But the kind of big thing for me, that the reason why kind of Mayflex stood out, is because it was a mess. And it still is, from a digital perspective. There's a heck of a lot of work to do. And that's the sort of thing I absolutely love, you know. So I kind of like walking into to businesses to who have really kind of old school or have no idea what the hell they're doing when it comes to e-commerce or SEO or web design, and just having this massive mammoth of a task and and trying to turn it around, you know, so make things a heck of a lot better. Mayflex is one of those companies. So very, very good at what it does as far as, you know, day-to-day as a product and as a service, but online, it's way back. It's hideous. So, you know, I mean, I'll give you one example, and I'm probably going to go off on a slight tangent here, but
that's fine.
8 million URLs, right? So there was a situation where I started and I realized there was about 8 million URLs in the Google index, and that very quickly every month was growing, like tens of thousands every single month. And they were all driven by parameters. So the internal search engine, all the navigation was just there. They had no SEO done on that website whatsoever. 12 months on, and just to put that into context, 8 million URLs, and they've got about 6,500 products, and then, you know, maybe like a couple hundred content CMS pages. So something doesn't add up. And my first challenge is seriously just getting rid of those URLs, bringing it down and concentrating the kind of link juice across the site, right? So something like that for me is what drew me to Mayflex, and it's why I love doing what I do, taking a massive problem and then coming out the other end with a solution.
All right. And what's been the biggest challenge for you so far with this huge amount of work in front of you?
It's mainly just resource, right? So I know it's not unique here, but the one thing I adore about where I work is there's no politics in my way. So, you know, like many places you can work, you've got a brilliant idea, you know it's going to work, you've done it before, or it's just best practice, and you've got sign off and, you know, all this kind of politics standing in front of you. I don't have that. So I literally have access to all the controls. I can't do things fast enough, which is incredible. So the biggest challenge right now, and this is going to be quite difficult to explain, but we have to give you an idea, Mayflex products are extremely granular when it comes to specification. So if you think about, like, you know, let's say apparel shops or something that sells clothing, you've got your size, you've got your color, and a few other bits and pieces, right? So these different features and bits of metadata. For each product, Mayflex has about 60. And as a result of that, it makes it massively complicated to navigate through the site because there's just so many different bits of navigation and data and filters you can apply. So we're about to strip all those and start again. And that has been like a 9-month project just now. We've probably still got another 6 or so months to go. And then there's the SEO considerations, measurability, all the sort of canonical workouts to redirect, everything. So this is probably the single biggest, most complicated ball of knotted yarn as far as SEO is concerned that I've ever had to deal with. I love it, but damn, it's complicated.
It sounds like it. I mean, do you feel like at this point it's let me see if the best way to put this, like, it's just a matter of getting the work done because there's so much in front of you, or are there still solutions that you're looking for?
Yeah, so it very much is a case of getting the work done, and then when we get to a checkpoint, it might be a case of, you know, we need additional support, whether it's a new way of looking at things, a new system, a new tool. You know, we've recently appointed or recently taken advantage of Systrix and a few other tools similar to that, just to keep tabs on things and find new opportunities. But really, you know, our Asana board, as far as like development tickets are concerned, the task list is huge, but there's nothing getting in our way of getting this done. And I love that. You know, I don't mind how big the challenge is, and I don't mind how much work there is, providing I can get that work done. If I can't get it done, that's when I start to get, you know, moody.
Yeah, like you said, it's always nice, especially when you're working for a bigger company, just to not have artificial barriers in your way, you know, so that you don't have to have that third line approval kind of thing before you can start doing the stuff you already know needs to be done and you know how to do it.
Yeah, so that's, absolutely.
That's sounds like it's a great challenge, but also a great environment to do your work in. So
yeah.
All right, we're gonna move on to our second round, which is a nice little game of Have You Ever.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Uh-huh.
And if you wanna play the drinking game, you know, you're welcome to. You know.
At the wheel?
Yeah. All right. Please, no. Please don't do that. Okay. Yeah. So question number one, have you ever bragged about something you haven't actually done?
Like, yeah, hasn't everybody? I'm just going to openly be the guy who says, hell yeah, like everyone's done this. I'm thinking like real basic stuff in a non-professional way, though, right? I mean, in professional, that's kind of questionable and all that. But in a friendly sense, or in a social sense, hell yeah, I've done that loads of times. In fact, actually, I'll give you one good example: Turkey. So when I went to Turkey, probably about 6 or 7 years ago, everyone was calling me 50 Cent, and I started to believe it. So I just walked into bars saying I'm 50 Cent, getting free shots, and it was awesome.
Anything that involves free alcohol, you got to roll with that. You know,
Hell yeah.
that's one of those things. All right, that's a great example. Okay. So have you ever skipped school?
No. If any kids are listening, or anyone who's a school age, stay in school, man. The only way you can get on a podcast on this caliber is to make sure you start school and you finish school. Don't do drugs, the usual kind of stuff your parents say. No, never.
All right, so never ditched even once. Never took an unapproved day off. Okay.
No, because my parents might be listening. I can't afford to say yes, you know? I'll get yourself in trouble.
Right, fair enough. So have you ever been kicked out of a bar? Mom and Dad, please turn off the podcast just for a moment.
If I have, like genuinely, if I have, I don't remember, which is probably worse than saying no. Like, it's not, I'm not categorically saying no. I'm just saying if it did happen, I don't remember it happening.
Okay. So it
Yeah.
didn't, so you don't remember, and nobody has reported back to you like the next day, like, can you believe you got yourself kicked out of a bar? So.
No, I think when I was kind of hanging around and going drinking and stuff, you know, at the age of 18, I was kind of in the place where social media was relatively new. So and smartphones were pretty crappy back then, right? So not everyone had like 10 gigabytes of data. I think I just about got lucky enough to keep all of the stuff and antics and idiotic things I did off social media. So they're safely probably on a Polaroid camera somewhere.
Nice.
Yeah, so I'm sticking with, I don't remember. I don't talk about it. No comment, etc.
Perfect. Have you ever gotten lost in a foreign country?
Yes. Amsterdam. The first and last thing that springs to my head is Amsterdam. Everything looks like a video game. Like everything's exactly the same. To the point where, yeah, my phone's dead. I'm hungry. I feel I'm going to be homeless and I can't find my hotel. Yeah, Amsterdam is a place where if you are going to go and you've never been before, please make sure you've got full charge and please make sure Google Maps works because you will get lost.
That's good to know. And I have a notorious, a notoriously bad sense of direction, and
Yeah, me too.
so
Me too.
the joke is that if anybody puts me in charge of getting around, that we will get lost and we will die. So nobody lets me do that. And the only time I remember really getting lost was, I think, the first time I was in Prague. And unlike Amsterdam, where you say everything looks the same, in Prague, nothing looks like anything that you've ever seen before, even if you just walked by it 5 seconds ago. So I got a little
Wow.
lost and my phone didn't work. And it was one of those, yeah, I'm going to die in Prague. That's just, I'd given up on it. It was fine. I kept walking and eventually found it. But
Okay, good man, good man.
yeah, sometimes you just got to face up to it. I'm lost
Yeah,
and
for
I
sure.
will die. Have you ever spent more than 8 hours in a row playing video games?
Yes, but that was like over 10 years. Do you know what? I haven't actually picked up a games console in probably at least a decade.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And the simple reason for that is I don't know, like I feel like I could always do something better with my time, and that's no kind of like, you know, I'm not dissing anyone who plays video games, they're awesome. But for me, I kind of, the minute I got into cars or the minute I could drive, I've always been a petrol head. So I could never kind of spend £50 or, you know, $70 or whatever on a video game. I'd rather go and spend $70 on a couple tanks of fuel and go on a road trip somewhere. So I don't know. I think after like the PS2 phase, when I was about 16, maybe a little bit younger, and I was playing my cracked games, you know, the kind of £3 off the guy on the corner. I was, yeah, I don't know. I just kind of fell out of love with them, and I've never got back in. I just feel like they're like a productivity killer. But saying that. I'm the kind of dude who sits on Instagram scrolling for probably like, you know, an hour a day or something. So I'm a bit of a hypocrite, really. But
Yeah, I think the only video game console I've ever owned was an Atari. So yeah,
wow.
not a big video game guy myself. So have you ever eaten an entire cake by yourself?
Okay, so you know what? I'm going to answer this question with another question. Define the size of this cake, right? Because the answer immediately is like, hell yeah, like probably two. But at the same time, if you're going to tell me, yeah, define the size of the cake for me so I can answer this properly. People don't
All
think I'm
right,
like
so
a
let's
glutton.
say, you know, not like a cupcake, but let's say like a birthday cake. So you know, like a so not like a wedding cake. I'm not expecting you to eat like three tiers by yourself or anything. So I mean, I know you like your snacks, but you know, I don't think
Yeah.
you're an insane person. But
No,
just a,
not
you know,
yet.
not a sheet cake, but like a round birthday cake you would buy for, let's say, you know, a 5-year-old for their birthday.
I mean, I've tried over the years for sure, but I don't think I've ever been successful. A pizza, however, hell yeah, like I can get down with that. I can definitely smash a pizza on my own.
Sure.
But a cake, nah. Like, all the wool in the world, that's not going to happen unless I get in a diabetic coma or something. It's just, yeah. That can't
All
work.
right. Okay. Oh, have you ever walked into a window because it was just that clean?
No, I don't think, you know what? That's exactly what's going to happen when I walk home tonight. But no, I don't think I have. I've done the opposite though, to be honest. I've like thought there was a window there and there wasn't, so I just look like I'm blind and I don't know where I'm going. But to my knowledge, again, right, alcohol is a certain thing to me. To my knowledge, I don't remember walking into a glass door because or a glass window because it looked too clean yet.
Yet. All right. Have you ever taken part in a talent show?
Yes, I
Okay.
have.
What was your talent?
Yeah, I knew you was gonna ask that. Oh man. So I'm a belly dancer. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. I'm joking. So over here, I think you have it in the. Well, I think it's many places in the world. So I know it's in the States and a few other things. But in the UK, we have a like an X Factor thing, like a music competition, and I did that, and I got quite far, and then I stopped going because I couldn't be bothered to keep traveling. But yeah.
Okay, and I mean, were you singing? Were you dancing? Were you,
Oh
what
yeah,
was
I
your
was
talent?
singing. I wasn't belly dancing for sure.
Okay. All right. And so that brings me up to, so that's the last of the have you ever, and now I'd like to talk a little bit about your public speaking, let's say
Okay.
career in regards to SEO. A lot of the people that we have had on the podcast, that I've had on the podcast, do a bit of public speaking. And what is it that's drawn you to the public speaking aspect of this particular career?
That is a very good question. Do you know what? I'll tell you how I got into it. So Stephen Kenwright, as many of you or some of you at least may know, so he's the organizer behind Search Leeds, which is a conference we have here in the UK, specifically Leeds City Centre. And I was on Twitter one day, and Stephen was kind of freaking out a little bit because about 2 or 3 days before the conference, he found out that one of his speakers had dropped out. So I was just kind of the guy who thought, yeah, what the heck, let's just put my hand up. I won't get chosen, you know, because there's probably like 50 people who will have to choose from. And I got chosen. So then I realized what I'd just done. And at the time thought, what the heck am I doing? Why did I do this? I've got like 3 days to make a presentation about something. I don't even know what the hell I'm going to talk about. And it kind of went on from there. So by kind of jumping in the deep end and presenting at, you know, one of the larger conferences in the UK, yeah, it just kind of happened from there. So I've spoken before in a non-SEO environment. So I've done it, you know, for pitches and account management in agencies and all kinds of stuff. So I'm not afraid of speaking. My concern with that was I've got 3 days to prep and I've never spoken about SEO before. Even though I do it day by day, you know, it could go one of either way. So that's kind of where it came from. Stepped off the stage. The feedback was great. Like at first I was just like, yeah, whatever. People have just been nice. But no, I think it kind of I got the bug. It was great to kind of be networking with similar-minded people and been able to share that kind of knowledge and have people ask me questions. And it's just stuck from there. So from Search Leeds, I then went on to trying to think, Search Love. So that's the second place I've spoken at, which is the one that happened just last month. And that, again, awesome. Great feedback. People really dig the session. And yeah, that's, you know, it's something that I love to do now. And it's something that I've kind of fallen into by someone else's misfortune. It's kind of become my opportunity. So that's in a roundabout way how this happened.
All right. And what's been the biggest challenge for you so far in regards to public speaking?
I think the one thing I personally don't like about, there's no specific people I've got in my head, but you know, you've got like you're listening to a great presentation, right? And you're thinking, wow, this is incredible. You know, you're writing all kinds of notes down, and the person on stage is giving you loads of concepts and lots of case studies, but they don't tell you how you can fix it. And I'm not expecting like a recipe card to go away and bake this thing at home, but you know, just to kind of kick off points to get you started, and you never get them. So for me, my kind of thing is to make sure, one, I kind of explore and identify and discuss the problem and why it's a problem in SEO. Two, kind of look at some specific case studies just to make sure it hits home and people understand the opportunities and threats. And then three, real tangible black and white tactical things you can take home and or to work to the office and just implement, you know, write tickets for, take action, get you thinking. And I think, you know, when you go to these conferences, it's great to hear theories and it's great to hear about new technology and stuff. But sometimes the basics, the foundation, the principles of technical SEO and e-commerce SEO are just as important, if not more important, than the kind of cool, shiny stuff like, you know, voice search and JavaScript optimization, which they're all super important in their own respects, depending on the audience. But at the end of the day, if your SEO foundation is off, everything else will be off. So that for me is kind of, I forgot the question, but I think I've answered it.
So it was, we're talking about, you know, your personal challenges when it comes to public speaking. So it sounds like this is maybe relatively new for you. Obviously, yeah. You've been on stage before if you were doing the X Factor and singing on stage. Did you find that having that background, having been in front of an audience, even though, let's say, in a different context, did that help mm-hmm. you think, with your public speaking?
I think so. I think it kind of got you over. So I think for certain, it got me over the getting on stage bit, right? So the stage fright thing was never really a massive concern. I guess what I started to get nervous about is knowing that SEOs are hypercritical, or anyone in digital technology, or anyone in a specific, you know, discipline is naturally going to be hypercritical. So you've got to know what the hell you're talking about. And the last thing you want to be in a position of is kind of saying something stupid or saying something a bit on the edge and people are like, wow, okay, this guy's an idiot. And I think that goes through maybe everyone's mind who's on stage. You want to make sure, one, you come across as like a really competent and intelligent person as far as your industry is concerned, but two, you don't say something stupid. So, which I think I've done several times in this webinar already.
All right, excellent, thank you. We're going to move on now to round three, which is the Elephate Lightning Round. We're going to be given two choices. You can choose one or the other. If you would like to expand a little bit, you may. If not, we'll just go right on to the next one. Okay?
Cool.
All right. So first question, Blue Nose or Other?
Other.
All right. Well, I'm glad that I censored that from my friend's question. So for my for the American, or let's say non specifically Brummy listeners out there, so you are not a fan of the Blues, is that what I'm hearing?
I'm in the city for sure, and I actually work not too far away from the ground, so football night or football match days are pretty heavy. But I actually don't do football that much, but if someone asks me if I'm a Blue Nose, the answer is like no, that's not how I roll. There's plenty of Blue Noses around where I work, so I've got to be careful what I say. You know, I don't want to get lynched, but I'm not one of them.
Okay. My friend will be disappointed, but okay. All right. Cool water or spring water air freshener?
Okay. So I love this question, by the way. Well played. I know exactly what you're talking about. I think I'm going to say cool water, 100%. Someone who has planned these questions is clearly an SEO or just like a mad stalker. I don't know. Maybe both. But yeah, definitely cool water. And that's to anyone who's listening, like cool water's the one. If you've got to choose between the two, cool water lasts longer. It's more recognizable, smells better. Yeah, cool water.
All
All
right.
day.
Well, if you need a car air freshener, I'm sure somebody can help you find one. All right. R2D2 or C3PO?
Oh man. Okay. I'm just gonna say R2D2, but to be honest with you, when it comes to like sci-fi and stuff, or specifically Star Wars and the like, I don't get down with it, which is a damn shame because I've tried to, but it just doesn't go in. A bit like the Bourne movies. It's kind of a similar thing. They look incredible and I just can't get into them. But yeah, let's say R2D2. He seems a bit cooler. Like I reckon if he walked into a bar and he was my wingman, we'd be all right.
Sure. Mama said, "Knock you out." Studio recording or unplugged version?
Unplugged, man, all day. Like everyone knows a studio recording. I don't think even I've heard the unplugged version, so definitely unplugged.
All right then. Sweet or salty?
Both.
Okay, so then
I'm
following
not playing
up,
this game very well.
following up with sweet, Barrett shrimps and bananas or Maynard's wine gums?
Definitely wine gums.
Wine gums.
The shrimps and bananas are just weird. They're like sponge. But wine gums,
Okay, and so then my follow-up for salty was going to be what's its or hula hoops?
What's it, man? Non-negotiable. Those things are incredible. You can't get enough of them. For anyone who was wondering what the hell we're talking about, what's it's are kind of like Cheetos, right? So yeah, they're exactly the same, but they come in smaller packets like everything else in the UK does. They're incredible, and I can never eat enough what's it. So yeah, what's it's all day, every day.
Okay, I've never had either, so but I'll have to try the Wotsits.
Make it happen.
Rob Halford or Ozzy Osbourne?
I don't know who Rob is, whoever that guy was you said, so I'm gonna have to say Ozzy Osbourne.
Okay, Rob Halford is the singer from Judas Priest, also a Brummie.
Okay. Now I know.
All right then. Yeah. Krabby's ginger wine or Stone's original green ginger wine?
Stones 100%. Like that's the original classic. That's like McVitie's digestives of ginger wine. That stuff is incredible. If you've never tried it and you really like ginger or you don't mind ginger, I recommend you try it. And if you're a raving alcoholic, believe it or not, a lot of people put it with whiskey because clearly having strong wine isn't strong enough. So whiskey in ginger wine apparently is the bomb. I've never tried it myself because I'm scared of the consequences, but apparently it's incredible.
I saw that there, it's got a specific name, doesn't it? Like, can't remember.
Yeah, it has got a name. I think if you ask, to be honest, it's not very popular. So like if you walked into a bar and said whatever this thing is, a lot of people just be like, dude, what are you talking about? Do you want a beer or what? So it's even when I walk into a bar and I ask for Stone's ginger wine, to be honest, a lot of people just think I'm weird. It's one
Okay.
of the things that you buy in the supermarket and you keep at home. A lot of pubs and stuff here don't seem to sell it, so which is a shame.
All right, and you've already kind of hinted at your answer here, but Sainsbury milk chocolate digestives or McVitie's?
Wow, that's almost like a trick question because there is such things as milk chocolate digestives by McVitie's. So you can literally have everything in the one answer. So I'm going to say McVitie's chocolate digestives, which actually is the number one apparently selling biscuit in the UK, according to a poll or something like that.
That's
But
what
it's
I
a pretty
saw.
damn popular biscuit
I
or
had a hard
cookie
time.
if you're from
I had a hard
America.
time finding another choice to give you for that one. So that's how popular those are. All right. A 1959 Austin Healey 3000 or a 1961 Jaguar E-Type.
E-type, man. If I had an E-type, I don't know. I reckon I'd just wear a suit everywhere and just, yeah. Like, you can't get into an E-type without wearing a suit, man. Plus, if you've got an E-type, you're balling, right? You've got to have some serious cash to rock an E-type. So, yeah, all day, E-type, every single time.
Okay. Duke or Skywalker?
Oh, we're going back to the sci-fi. Okay. Well, Skywalker, man, we share the same name. Like
Well,
that was
that's
like my
right.
nickname during.
Okay, sorry, I meant like Luke Duke or Luke Skywalker. So Luke Duke from the Dukes of Hazzard.
Oh, yeah, they're definitely the same answer. Like Skywalker, man, for sure. Like.
All right, and our final question. Would you rather, now this may be tough, I don't know if this is specifically a Brummy thing, but that's what I've been told. Would you
Okay.
rather have to tell the driver you're going to the city center instead of saying you're going to town, or not thank the driver after getting off the bus?
Man. This is a British thing. This is probably wider than Birmingham, but I would rather, I'd have to say thank you to the bus driver. That's just like a thing, man. Well, if as long as the bus driver's not an idiot. Right, because you know there's bus drivers who just can't drive and you feel like you're going to die. He can do one, but if it's a good bus driver, I'm thinking about this far too hard. But if it's a good bus driver, then for sure, I'm taking that option. As in, I've got to say thank you to him versus saying that word instead of town, which I don't agree with. So I'm not even going to say
All right,
it.
so but basically being given the chance, now what, these are both bad choices, obviously. So you would rather say the words you don't want to say right now than to not thank the guy. Is that what I'm hearing? All right. I won't push you to actually say city center, so we'll go on. We'll move on. I don't want to make you're driving right now. I don't want to cause any accidents, so.
Oh, I'm in the car. I'm at the wheel, but I'm not driving. Don't worry. I'm parked up in a car park somewhere. I'm safe. I'm safe.
Okay, so you could have been drinking this whole time. No, you got me. All right, so that basically brings us to the end here. Do you have any final thoughts? Anything that you would like to promote? Anything you want to leave us with?
You know what? I'd love to promote something, but it's not official yet, so I can't do that. But what I would say is, I'm kind of working on a blog at the moment, as you probably may have seen. There's going to be a couple more blog posts coming up soon about a few things. One based on the back of my Search Love Talk that happened just this month, actually, specifically about discontinued products and SEO. It's a massively overlooked topic, at least in my world. All the companies I seem to have worked with over the years have struggled with this in one sense or another. So there'll be a blog post about that, and feel free to check out my slides from Search Love. But I will also, in one sense or another, I guess it's not official yet, but in one sense or another, I will be at Brighton in April, Brighton SEO in April. And I'll leave that there. I don't know more information on it yet, but we'll.
All right, perfect. That sounds great. So thank you so very much for taking the time to talk with us today. It's always a pleasure having the people who are as passionate about this as you are. So thank you.
Cheers, man. Thank you. Yeah, I will say though, this is definitely I was warned, right? But this is like a off the wall kind of really gets you thinking. I know you warned me, right? But I didn't believe how far you guys were going to go to try and like get the brain juices going. So yeah, hats off to you, man. You smashed it. Well done. Well done.
Well, thank you very much, and Tara a bit.
Oh God, man, you went there, huh? You went there. You sounded like Siri. Like Siri, you say you said, yeah, okay. I'm not even, I'm going to correct you because I feel like if and when you ever come to Birmingham, you need to understand how to say this so you don't get like
Yeah,
beaten up or
please.
something, right?
Tara a bit.
So it's Tararabit.
Tarara a bit. Okay.
There you go. Terra, I don't know what that was. That sounds like a measure of storage. Like,
Yeah. Tarara a bit.
wow.
Okay.
Yeah, Tararabit. There we go. That's better. That's better.
All right then. Which once again means goodbye. So thank you very much, and
Indeed.
we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Take care. Thanks, see you.
You have been listening to Elephate in the Room, hosted by Derek Caraview, produced by Christian A. Dumais, music by Giant Monsters on the Horizon. This podcast is a part of Elephate, the 2018 European Search Awards winner for Best Small SEO Agency. Follow Elephate on Twitter at ElephateSEO and on Facebook at Elephate. Thanks for joining us, and see you next time.